Sorry, next time we're going to look at some of the negative signs, some of the difficult things that are going to befall the church and the world and the nation of Israel as we move into the end days. Today we're going to look at the nation of Israel. And often, or not very often, is it preached about the nation of Israel and things relating to Israel. But today we're going to focus on the nation of Israel and some of the signs, some of the things that are prophesied in the Bible that tell us that the end is coming. We can tell that because of what is happening with the nation of Israel. In fact, the nearer we get to the time of the end, the more the focus of the world will turn upon the nation of Israel. And the most dramatic events in the whole history of the world will actually take place in the land of Israel. I'm sure with all the television cameras of the world, focusing on them, we'll all be watching on our TV screens and at the internet. And so, with teachings like this, you never know how much people know about the history, and some things that to some are obvious, others have never heard of before. So I'm going to do a brief overview of God's plan from the beginning of time to the end of days about the nation of Israel. Really brief. It's going to be a rocket speed tour, and then we'll slow down as we get more into our day. And forgive me if it's familiar, but there we are. So, why did all this talk about Israel? I mean, there's lots of other special nations in the world, aren't there? Like England, Scotland, France, where I've just been for a week on holiday, just came back yesterday. There's a lot of nations in the world, but Israel has a special place in the plan of God. Going right back in the Bible to Genesis chapter 11, God chose one man called Abraham, and he gave that man a promise, and he said, I'm going to bless you, I'm going to give you a family, and I'm going to make your family into a nation. And I'm going to give this nation a particular geographical place on the earth, the nation of Israel. And God's way to actually bring salvation to the nations of the world was through the nation of Israel. It's not that he doesn't love the Chinese or the Indians or the Pakistanis. He loves them all. But his way of bringing that love to the nations of the world was by calling one nation, Israel, revealing himself to that nation, telling them his ways. And then the plan was that this nation, Israel, would live in this certain way and that they would be a light to the other nations of the world. Well, as we know from reading our Bible, the nation of Israel turned away from God throughout the Old Testament. One time after another, instead of worshipping him, instead of being a role model to other nations, the nation of Israel turned away from God. And so for a period of time, in fact, about 1,900 years, God was focusing on this nation of Israel, and his plan was to work with them and cause them to turn and be a role model. But then something happened, a big moment in history where we changed from BC to AD. The promised Messiah, Jesus, came into the world, and that marks a transition in history. Jesus was born a Jew. He was born in the nation of Israel. And in fact, Jesus himself spent almost all his ministry just preaching to Jews. He never went out of the nation of Israel, well, hardly, just stepped over the border once or twice, but he limited himself to that one particular nation. It wasn't really until after the time of Jesus that the message went out beyond to the nations of the world. But as we know, most of Israel rejected the Messiah. Jesus wasn't welcomed as their king. Of course, some people welcomed him, but the vast majority of the Jews, although they wanted the miracles, they enjoyed listening to his teaching, not that many were prepared to take up their cross, change their way of life, and put themselves out to follow Jesus. And the result of that was that Jesus prophesied that because the nation rejected him as their Messiah, the judgment of God was going to fall on that nation in a terrible way. Jesus himself in Luke 21, he prophesied, "When you see Jerusalem being surrounded by armies, you will know that its desolation is near." And he goes on, "Let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let those in the city get out. Let those in the country not enter the city." And then he said, "Jerusalem will be trampled on by the Gentiles until the time of the Gentiles are fulfilled." Now that's a crucial thing. Jerusalem will be trampled on by the Gentiles until the time of the Gentiles are fulfilled. We'll come back to that verse a few times in this talk. But what happened historically is that in the year 70 AD, so that's just 35 years after Jesus died, there was a Jewish rebellion, and the Roman armies came led by the Emperor Titus. And as they approached the city of Jerusalem, the Christians, based on the prophecy of Jesus from this verse that we've just read, they realized that this time was coming where Jerusalem was going to be overthrown. And so they all escaped. So nearly no Christians died in the siege of Jerusalem. But the Jews, they thought that God would protect them, and so they stayed. And the armies came and they besieged Jerusalem. It took nearly 2 years, and then they overthrew the city. And at that time, it was a horrific time. Nearly a million Jews were killed in the siege of Jerusalem. And most of the rest were driven out of the country. The Romans threw the people of Israel out of the nation over then and over the years that followed. And so the Jews were basically forced to leave their land. And some went to the west and settled in Europe, you know, Germany and France and countries like that, Romania and Poland. Others went south, settled in Egypt and Ethiopia and the Arabian Peninsula, Saudi Arabia. Others went north and settled in Ukraine and Russia. And so the worldwide spread of the Jews took place. But there was almost none left living in Jerusalem during the Roman period, which lasted up until 635 AD, when the Muslim armies, you know, the Arabs, then they took over the Holy Land. And so this is the time that the Bible refers to as the time of the Gentiles, that the Holy Land will be trampled by the Gentiles until the time of the Gentiles was over. So it's the time of the Gentiles. And, you know, during the what's called the time of the Gentiles, the plan of God, the focus of God changed. So for 1,900 years, God had been focusing on the nation of Israel. And then suddenly, the focus of God switches to the ends of the earth. And the church starts taking out the gospel from Jerusalem into Judea, Samaria, through Turkey. You know, the Apostle Paul took the gospel through Greece and France and Spain and northwards into Russia, Italy, Egypt, Iran, all those countries, and the gospel went out. And so the number of people following the God of Israel actually became larger out of Israel for the first time in history than in Israel itself. And something else happened at this time in history as well that you know, was prophesied. In fact, the Apostle Paul talks about it in the book of Romans, chapter 11. You remember that he talks about the nation of Israel being like an olive tree. And he says that at a certain time in history, in fact, this time, 70 AD, when the Jews rejected their Messiah and they started persecuting the church, God goes that the branches will be snapped off the olive tree. They'll be broken off. And that God will graft the branches of a wild olive tree into their place. And those branches refer to the Gentile church. The original flow of grace through the trunk of the olive tree that was there through Abraham and Jacob and Moses and David, that flow will no longer go into the nation of Israel because those branches were broken off. And God says that there'll be a hardening of the heart of the Jews at that time in history and thenceforth. And in fact, through history, from the days of the book of Acts, in the book of Acts, many Jews became Christians. But after that time, there was this hardening of heart. And from the end of the book of Acts, almost until our day, there were almost no Jews turned to faith in Jesus as their Messiah. They were just hard as a nation. It wasn't helped, of course, through, the different things that happened to the Jews through history. There was a lot of persecution led by the church. The Crusades, first of all, and then the Inquisition. And in many of the Christian countries, the Jews were persecuted as being those that killed the Messiah. And people felt that they were serving God if they persecuted the Jews. But their heart was hardened through history because it was this time of the Gentiles. But the Bible tells us that when the time of the Gentiles is drawing to an end, something will change. God will renew his calling once again upon the people of Israel. And he'll start to do a number of things. And those are the things that we're going to look at this morning. And these are the things that show that this time, the time of the Gentiles is drawing to its age. And the season, the new season of the end of times is coming. Now these seasons, they don't happen quickly, instantly. It's not like, 31st of December is 1 year and then the 1st of January is another year. The seasons of God change slowly. Our God is a God who creates slowly. One season comes to an end. He shapes the landscape using glaciers over thousands of years. So the seasons of God, it may not be this week, it may not be next week, but there's a dramatic change of season at this time that we're living in. And it's the season where God is once again renewing his calling on the Jewish people. So remember, it's nearly 1,900 years where it was the time of the Gentiles before suddenly things started happening. And the first and perhaps one of the biggest signs that have come was that suddenly in a day, the state of Israel was reborn again, and Jerusalem a little bit later in 1967 became the capital city. The state of Israel was reborn, as we know, in 1948. Now, it didn't look likely to people for the period leading up to that, and we'll take a very brief look at that. I said that after the Roman time, the Arabs took over the land of Israel in 635 AD. And basically, Israel and Jerusalem were under Muslim rule up until 1920, apart from a few years during the Crusades when it changed hands briefly. But it was basically under Muslim rule. And then towards the end, it came under the Ottoman Empire, which was, the Turkish Empire. But then in the First World War, the Turks sided with the Germans. I don't know how good your history is, but a quick history lesson. And then when the Germans were defeated, the Ottoman Empire, the Turkish Empire, came basically under the British control. And so the land of Israel came back into British hands from 1920 up until 1948. And nobody quite knew what to do with Israel. Should we give it to the Arabs? Should we make it its own nation? Should we? And the most popular plan was to create a state that was governed by the United Nations. That was the most popular plan. But through a series of remarkable events, mainly pushed by the American president, President Truman, and the Russian president, Joseph Stalin, very suddenly, political events took a surprising turn, and the state of Israel was born literally in a day. One day it wasn't there, then the next day the nation of Israel came about. Now, Jesus couldn't have come back again in the second coming before 1948, because there are many scriptures that talk about the days where Jesus comes back, that Israel has got to be once again in the land. The Jews have got to be in control of the city of Jerusalem. And some of those scriptures are listed there. Ezekiel 38 is one of them. And so it's a sign that we're coming towards the end of time. Now another sign, the second sign, is that Jewish people that had been scattered all over the nations of the world, they will start to come back, and they'll come back to live in the land of Israel. So during the Ottoman Empire, and really for hundreds of years before 1948, Israel was basically uninhabited. And the American writer Mark Twain, he visited the land of Israel in 1867. And he described it as this. He said it was a desolate country, devoid of vegetation and human population, given over wholly to weeds. We never saw a human being on the roots. There was hardly a tree or a shrub anywhere. It was basically a desert. There were a few Bedouin Arabs wandering here and there, and one or two Jews, but the middle of the land, not the coast, but the main part of the land of Israel, was just a desolate wasteland. In fact, in 1850, the population of Israel was about 15,000 people. That's almost nobody. But then what happened was that towards the end of the 19th century, there was widespread persecution of the Jewish people, particularly in Eastern Europe and in Russia. And God started to put a dream in the heart of the Jewish people. And it started to come into their hearts spontaneously all over the world at the same time. Jews in America, Jews in France, Jews in Russia all started dreaming of returning to the land of Israel. And it had been empty of Jews for 1,900 years. But for no logical reason, because most of the Jews were doing well in commerce, they were rich in the lands that they were, they had no roots back in the land, but suddenly they started to dream of returning back to the land of Israel. And there are many verses in the Bible, many, I've just put one down here, many verses where it was prophesied that at a certain time in history, at this time, at the end of the time of the Gentiles, the Jews would start to return to the land of Israel. I'll just read this one in Jeremiah 16. It says, "Therefore, behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when it will no longer be said, 'As the Lord lives, who brought up the sons of Israel out of the land of Egypt,' but 'As the Lord lives, who brought up the sons of Israel from the land of the north and from all the countries where he banished them. For I will restore them to their own land, which I gave to their fathers.'" Then it goes on to say, "Behold, I am going to send for many fishermen, declares the Lord. They will fish for them. And afterwards I will send for many hunters, and they will hunt them from every mountain and every hill and from the clefts of the rock." And so that scripture talks about a time, which is our time, where the Jews won't say, like they used to say in the Old Testament, "We remember when God brought us out of the land of Egypt under Moses." But now they say, "God brought us out of Russia, and he brought us out of America, and he brought us out of Iraq." And they've returned from all over the nations of the earth. And it talks about, "I'm going to send for many fishers and many hunters." And the fishermen refer to those who would try to allure the Jews back with a bait of promise. That's what we call Zionism. You know, the dream of the glorious land of Israel once again. And So many people went into nations to try and fish the Jews back. Even from our city of Hull, there was Good News Travel, many of you remember, that was bussing Jews from all over the place back to the land of Israel. Many people worked to try to allure the Jews to go back into the land inspired by God. And then it says, there'll also be many hunters. And that refers to the persecution, just like hunters chase an animal. In many nations of the world, the Jews were chased out of those nations, especially the nations in the north, like Ukraine and Russia. And so, you know, the Jews started to return. And it happened around the end of the 19th century. So as we said, in 1850, there were about 15,000. Around 1900, there were 60,000, so already it's increased by 400%. And then great persecution really started to happen. So by 1948, that's the end of the Second World War, after the Nazi time and the other persecutions, about 600,000 Jews lived in the land when the State of Israel was declared. Now that's actually quite a low number to declare a nation, only 600,000 people. So it really was a miracle of God. But once the State of Israel had been declared as a separate political entity, two things happened. Suddenly, persecution exploded all over the Muslim world, especially, you know, countries Iraq and Iran and North Africa, Egypt, Saudi Arabia, countries where Jews had lived in peace for hundreds of years. As soon as the State of Israel was declared to be a state, all the Muslims got together and said, we're going to wipe this state off the map and we're going to persecute any Jew that we find within our borders. So suddenly all the Jews were driven out by these hunters. You know, they had to return to their land. And so within the next 3 years, the population more than doubled to over 1.3 million. And that was a trend that continued over the years. In 1970, there were nearly 3 million. And in 2017, 8.7 million. It's not that far off 10 million today. Gradually, always increasing the return of the Jews back to their promised land. So that's one of the signs that was prophesied. I'm going to start moving very quickly through. Other signs that were prophesied, that the Jews would start using their old language, biblical Hebrew, again. Now that's really remarkable. It was prophesied in the book of Zephaniah there that God will restore to his people a pure language. For 1,900 years, nobody had spoken the language of the Bible. The Jews in Russia spoke Russian, the ones in France spoke French, and it became a dead language like Latin. Nobody spoke it. But around the time of the birth of Zionism, people started working on this language and trying to make it come alive again. And when the State of Israel was announced in 1948, they declared that Hebrew, which nobody had spoken for 1,900 years, would be the national language in fulfillment of this prophecy there in Zephaniah. Another thing that was prophesied was that this nation that before had been a desolate wilderness with nothing growing there, no trees, no agriculture, God goes, when I call my people back, it's going to be a land that is strong in agriculture, particularly in fruit production. Isaiah prophesied that fruit from Israel would fill the whole world. Isn't that amazing? Today we all eat oranges and apples that come from the land of Israel. And Isaiah in 27 verse 6, he goes, the fruit from Israel will fill the whole world. There's many other scriptures that prophesy about that. Another prophecy, that Israel will have a strong military force, and the Israeli army, although they're only a strong a small nation, it's got actually one of the strongest, most technological fighting forces of all the nations in the world, the most planes and bombs, the most modern equipped army, navy, and so on. And that was also prophesied at various places in the Old Testament, for example, there in Zechariah chapter 12 and verse 6. Not going into detail really on any of these points, but just to touch on this, that God will start to soften the hearts of the Jews so that people will start turning back to him. So remember, for 1,900 years, there were almost no Jewish converts to Christianity. But in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 36 and verse 24, God promises that first there'll be a physical return to the land, and then there'll be a spiritual cleansing. He goes, I will take you from the nations. I will gather you from all the lands and bring you into your own land. Then I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from your idols. Moreover, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. God is starting to graft back the natural branches of the olive tree back onto that historic olive stump. And today, you know, we can see for the first time in history many Jews turning to Christ. They say that in 1970 there were only two messianic congregations in the whole land of Israel. But today there are over 150 congregations with over 30,000 Jewish believers. 30,000 doesn't sound many, but that's amazing compared to just 30, 40 years ago. Many Jews are starting to turn to Jesus as their Messiah. Almost every major town in Israel has a living, Holy Spirit-filled church within it. And that's something that's going to increase more and more in the days of the end. Do you remember that Paul said about if the hardening of the Jews led to salvation for the Gentiles, what would happen when the Jews started to come back? It would just be like life from the death. And Jesus himself actually prophesied that he wouldn't come back in his second coming until the Jews themselves actually welcomed him back. I don't know if you knew that, but that's something that Jesus, he said. He said to the Jewish leaders in Jerusalem, he said, I say to you, you will see me no more until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Now that's an amazing prophecy, isn't it? Jesus said that he wouldn't come back until the Jews themselves actually welcomed Jesus back, until they said, blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Now, the Bible tells us, as we'll look in later studies, that scenario won't really come about until, you know, there's great pressure on the nation of Israel, with the armies of the Antichrist converging, the largest army ever gathered in human history, converging against the nation of Israel. And at that point, the nation will turn back. But it's happening more and more in our day. One sign that we need to look for that is still future of our day is this, that the actual physical temple will be rebuilt and daily sacrifices will resume once again in the temple. And there's some scriptures listed there at the bottom, Matthew 24, verse 11. The most clear is in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 3 and 4, that talk about the Antichrist will come into the physical temple and declare himself to be a god. And so Jesus can't come back until a physical temple is actually rebuilt in the city of Jerusalem. Now, one problem to that is that the third holiest mosque in Islam stands on the only place where a temple can be built. the Dome of the Rock there, and you can imagine what will happen worldwide when that mosque is demolished to make way for the Jewish temple to be rebuilt. But many of you probably know that the Jews are actually planning. They have detailed plans to rebuild the temple, and they say that they actually have the temple in kit form in warehouses stored in different places around the nation. And this is a given moment. They could actually rebuild the temple probably within weeks, because all the pieces are there. They just have to have the word from their government, and suddenly it will come up. And when we see that, we know that the time of the end is coming very close. My last point, you'll be happy to hear. There'll be a great rise in anti-Semitism among the nations of the world. Time magazine last year said that more Jews were killed in anti-Semitic violence around the world in 2018 than at any other year for decades. And anti-Semitism is on the rise. In America, there were nearly 2,000 hate incidents last year, with over 100 serious attacks. You probably remember the shooting of the synagogue in Pittsburgh. In the UK, 1,382 hate incidents against Jews, 68 serious attacks. Synagogues have been desecrated in our country in our day, and that's happening all over the nations of the world, and the Bible predicts that that will happen more and more before Jesus comes back. And so just to finish, we need to pray for the nation of Israel. I don't know if you do, but the Bible actually commands us to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. God wants us to pray for the prosperity of Israel. Now, just because Israel is God's nation, it doesn't mean that everything the Jewish government and the Jewish people do is the will of God. And the way that they treat the Palestinian people, of course, is wrong. You know, it causes pain to the heart of God, because God loves the Palestinian people as well. But we need to pray for the Jewish people. We need to pray that God protects that nation and gives them peace. We need to pray for that inner peace, that they get converted and give their hearts to Jesus. And in this psalm that I put on the screen, Psalm 122, if you don't want to pray for the Jews for their own sake, the psalmist says, "For the sake of my brothers and my friends, I will say, may peace be within you." In other words, when you bless Israel, there's a blessing that falls upon you. Do you remember the first scripture I put on the screen this morning? God's promise to Abraham. He says, "I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse those who curse you." Nations that turn their face against Israel, God is against them. But those who bless Israel, God is for them. And so for our own sake, if we bless Israel, for the sake of my brothers and my friends, we need to pray for God's blessing to be upon the nation of Israel. Sorry, I've spoken for quite a long time this morning, but it's not often we touch these things, is it? So these are important points, and they're signs that show that we're moving into the season of the end times. Let's just pray. Lord, thank you that you lay out so clearly in the Bible and in history these signs that if we look, we can't miss. Lord, today we want to speak a blessing over the land of Israel. We thank you that you've called this nation back to yourself in these days. Thank you, Lord, that we're living in a time where Jews are turning to faith in Jesus, and we just pray that that would increase. Let many Jews discover that you are the Messiah. Let them reconnect to that living flow of life that flowed through Abraham and Moses and David and Jesus and Peter and Paul. Let them discover it for themselves. Lord, and help us to have our eyes open so we can see and be prepared ourselves for these days that we're living in. In Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah, thank you.